Well, good morning, folks. Paul von Gertz here with the news from Knife River as we see it through the Knife River Heritage and Cultural Center. Nice spring day today. I hope you're enjoying your day. The news from Knife River comes every month, second Friday of every month at 9 o'clock, and then it's repeated the following Sunday at 1 p.m. So with that, I'm going to bring you the news from our newest, latest newsletter, which came out in February. And this issue here has some, I think, some interesting news that that I hope you will enjoy and maybe make you ponder a little bit, too. Our lead story has to do with the Knife River Heritage and Cultural Center being in what we call the short list for as a future site for the Viking ship Leif Erikson. Now, if you're over 40, you might remember the Viking ship Leif Erikson. It was in display in Leif Erikson Park in Duluth, and it was also... For which the park was named. And so it has interesting history. And I think what I'll do is just kind of keep it the way I wrote it here. And that way you won't miss anything. And I'm going to come back and offer some personal comment. Now, the Knife River Heritage and Cultural Center is now one of two remaining sites under consideration for displaying the iconic Viking ship Leif Erikson. This is according to Neil Atkins, who's the president of the Save Our Ship organization. And the other site next to Knife River would be in Duluth. I can tell you it's in the Canal Park area. The SOS, again, that's the Save Our Ship organization, has been the steward, in other words, the caretaker of the Viking ship since about the late 1980s. Well, last fall, we at the Heritage Center received a letter from Neil Atkins, again, president of the SOS, asking if we at the Heritage Center would like to talk about bringing the ship to Knife River. And so we thought, well, that's interesting, but how does that work for us and work with our mission and vision statement? And consequently, how well does this work for the mission and vision of the SOS organization? Well, with this invitation to enter in a dialogue, we thought, what? Well, we might as well do that and give us some thought. Interesting possibility to have the Viking ship on our site in Knife River, down by the depot, and have it a kind of a counterpart to another boat that we have. In fact, it's on our property now, and that's the 35-foot fish tug Crusader II, which has long ties to Knife River, going back to 1939. So we thought it would be a nice counterpart and interesting idea. So we entered into this dialogue with the SOS group, and it's been going on ever since. Okay, so now a little background here on the Leif Erikson. And if you're over 40 years old, you might remember the ship because it's been out of the public view for about, I don't know, maybe 30 years now. But it's been an icon for the city of Duluth for much of the past century, but it's been without a home since 2013. It's now wrapped in shrink wrap and in private storage, which is sad because nobody can view it or see it. And so as we go thinking through here what's best for the Leif Erikson, I think we have to look at what's best for the public. It needs to be presented. It needs to be displayed. And the longer the site trying to figure out where to put this and where would be the best place, it's just more years that slip by and more generations that don't know anything about this boat. So let's keep that in mind as we go through this. Well, Duluth history records show that the Leif Erikson was built in Korgen, Norway by local boat builders and sailed from Bergen, Norway on May 23rd, 1926. Now, I'm going to interject here. Bergen, Norway is significant to me because my dad was born in Bergen, Norway. And now, of course, my last name is von Gertz, which doesn't sound very Norwegian. It certainly isn't. It's German. So how does a German end up in Bergen, Norway? How did my dad's family end up there? Well, Bergen is a German community within the nation of Norway. If you remember your world history, at one time the Germans organized something called the Hanseatic League. And this was an organization of trading partners throughout Europe that gave each other tax breaks and basically facilitated trade among those nations through the one city. And in Norway, it was Bergen. Well, anyway, that's where the boat left from on May 23rd, 1926. Now, it retraced the course from Norway to North America, thought to be taken by the Norwegian explorer Leif Erikson in 997 AD. It arrived in Duluth on June 23rd, the following year, to much fanfare, and after logging more than 10,000 miles. Now, that's Norway from Duluth is not 10,000 miles, but as you know, a sailboat doesn't sail a straight course. It has to zigzag tack into the wind, so they have to add extra miles. Now, at the time, Duluthian Bert Enger owned the a furniture store called Enger & Olsen. Maybe some of you folks remember that. It was in the West End, along with several other furniture stores. Well, he bought the boat. The Norwegians didn't want to sail it back. They didn't have sailing for a while. And so he gifted it to the city of Duluth. Excuse me. Now, Enger said that, okay, so I'm going to give you I'm going to give you this boat, but you'd have to agree to maintain it and place it where the public could easily view it. Otherwise, you got to give it back to my descendants of the Enger family. Well, Neil Atkins said, over the years, we negotiated with several city administrations to find a suitable location in Duluth. With the expectation, the city would pay for costs under the original covenant with Bert Enger. But, Neil said, no real progress was ever made. So last summer, we decided to include a site outside of Duluth and informed the city of our intentions. We have now acted on that once we realized the potential for relocating the boat to Knife River. Okay, so Duluth was informed of this, and I don't believe there was an initial reaction to this. Now, many of you know Randy Ellestead, sometimes called the mayor of Knife River. He's the owner of the Knife River Campground. Well, he's also the vice chair of the Save Our Ship board, and also, but he also serves on our Knife River Heritage and Cultural Center board. Well, Randy said from his position on both boards that he could see bringing the Viking ship to Knife River would be a good fit. So Randy rattles off here reasons why Leif Erikson would be a good fit in the Knife River Heritage Center. He says, first of all, the boat needs to be near the lake and visible from a road with high visitor traffic. Okay, that'd be Scenic 61. Second, it needs some freshening up after being in storage for 12 years. Knife River has a strong Scandinavian heritage and continues to have boat builders restorers living here. Then Randy here mentions Larry Ronnie. Many of you know Larry. He's a general contractor, but he's also an extremely good boat builder and I think one of the few true boat rights left on the North Shore. But Larry, back in 93, when the boat was really in tough shape, Larry directed an extensive rebuild of the boat, which is good, of course. And as I said, the Leif Erikson now has been in storage for about 12 years. It needs some freshening up. It's been in a shrink wrap, and we aren't real sure what condition it's in. But anyway, I should also mention that Larry is one of our board members, and he's directed the restoration of the Knife River Depot. If you haven't seen it, please stop by and look. It looks terrific. Well, anyway, Neil said the boat was the centerpiece of Leif Erikson Park from about the mid-20s, about 100 years ago, through when it was moved off-site for its rebuild. Well, then it was brought back to the park and placed by the city where it's not fully visible to the passing public or safe from vandalism. And I saw this site, and it was rather, I don't quite understand why the city placed it where they did. They put it right next to the water. They put it on a launch ramp like it was could be launched back into the lake. And this was part of the design, and I don't really understand that, because why would you put the boat back in the water? It's nice that it was restored to the point where you could do it, but it didn't seem to make a lot of sense. But aside from that, the boat was kind of in a ravine off the beaten path in Leif Erikson Park, and you could barely see it. You had to really look for it, and trees and brush had grown up alongside it. People were tossing debris and junk into it because it was recessed into the ravine. It's a terrible place, actually. Well, anyway, I wasn't in on that decision. I don't know how that happened, but a bad place. Anyway, the friends of the Save Our Ship folks said, okay, we got to get out of here. So through a lot of volunteer help and so forth, they were able to move the boat off to a more secure site, which is where it is now. And that's on private property in the Twin Ports area, and it's a shrink wrap. So nobody's enjoying the Leif Erikson right now. So now the other thought is, well, okay, what ties do the Viking ship have to Two Harbors and Knife River and the North Shore? Well, actually, there's quite a bit. Now, according to Randy, who's our historian unofficial historian of Knife River, as well as our unofficial mayor, Leif Erikson has historical ties to Two Harbors and Knife River. While sailing to Duluth along the North Shore, I mean coming from Norway here in 1926, it stopped here in two harbors for a three-day celebration hosted by the Norwegian-American community in two harbors. I imagine these were the forerunners of our Sons of Norway group. Obviously, we have a huge Scandinavian population here in two harbors. Well, anyway, after it left the three-day celebration here in two harbors, it was started to sail to Duluth for the big celebration that would be take place later that day. Well, I did not understand this, but the Leif Erikson did not have auxiliary power, okay? So it was at the mercy of the wind. Well, anyway, they're sailing towards Duluth. Everybody's getting cleaned up and ready for this gala celebration that would take place in Duluth after this boat had traveled 10,000 miles. Well, anyway, they got out just a little bit past Knife Island, and the wind dropped. Okay, so now they're drifting out there. There's four on crew. Now, in the old 100 years ago, I guess they would have rowed it, but they only had a crew of four, and I don't know if it had oars or not. But anyway, there were two commercial fishermen from Knife River, Chris Lee and Herman Hansen. Well, they saw the Leif Erikson sails droop off Knife Island, and so they towed the ship about 2 miles until their sail filled with a much-appreciated northeast wind that propelled the ship to the Duluth Canal, where 10,000 folks awaited its arrival. And you've probably seen pictures of this. It's pretty dramatic. The northeast wind allowed the Leif Erikson to sail right through the middle of the canal. The wind couldn't have been better, and it was quite a thing to see. Well, anyway, that's kind of the story of Leif Erikson. Right now, we are working on a site plan for the Knife River Heritage and Cultural Center. We've commissioned the architectural firm at Creco Ojard & Associates, and their architectural partners, SAS Architects & Associates, to design our site and to show locations for two sheds, boat sheds. One will be for Crusader. Now, this, as I mentioned earlier, is a 35-foot fish tug that's got long ties to Knife River, and we want to restore that. So it'll be in one shed, and then we also have a second that we are planning and have it set aside for the Leif Erikson should it come here. We don't know as yet. There's not been a decision between Knife River and the site in Canal Park. And while I think of it, if you'd like to offer an opinion on the Leif Erikson, up or down, to coming to Knife River, I hope it's up. I don't see anything wrong with it. You can email the Heritage Center at info@krhcc.org. Okay? I'll repeat that a little later if you want to get pencil and paper. Okay, so I was just going to comment more. One of my own personal comments on the Leif Erikson is that I grew up on 26th and Lennon Road. That's right where the freeway and Lennon Road come together. I spent my whole childhood and then some on the shore of the lake there. So I've always had a close tie to the lake. But we'd oftentimes ride our bicycles down Leif Erikson Park and look at the boat. That was on display there. At that time, it was open. It's not covered. A big fence around it. And so without a cover or shelter over it, weathered. And it was looking bad. It wasn't painted very accurately. It was painted like a circus wagon, too. I don't quite understand that. So we didn't know their history. Okay, that's it for Leif Erikson. Here's that email. If you want to comment on the Leif Erikson again, please do so. Email info@krhcc.org and let us know what you think about this idea. Okay, under our next story, the Heritage Center has joined hands with the Bayfield Heritage Association to collaborate on sharing stories. We've gotten to know the folks over at the Bayfield Heritage Association quite well. They're light years ahead of us in terms of programming and the development and so forth. But we realize there's a lot of similarity between commercial fishing and the heritage of we on the North Shore here in Knife River, and then on the counterparts across the lake in Bayfield and South Shore down to Port Wing and so forth. So we're exchanging newsletters, and we are also going to be exchanging programming. So it's kind of nice to have a partner like the Bayfield Heritage Association to help us get our word out, and we in turn can learn a lot about commercial fishing and railroading and logging as it took place on the other side of the lake. So that's kind of neat. And you can go to the Bayfield, bayfieldheritage.org to look at their site and see their different newsletters and so learn a little bit about our counterparts on the South Shore. Again, that is bayfieldheritage.org. Checking the time here. We've got about 5 minutes to go. More news here. Some of this I might have to read kind of quickly here. And those of you that get our newsletter or were listening last month, we talked about the sinking of the fish tug Friant, 95-foot fish tug that sank between about Port Wing and Knife River in 1924, I believe it was. Anyway, that was a good story. Had a happy ending. None of the crew were lost. Quite a story of survival. But I thought I found another story too about winter fishing and the dangers thereof, and I wanted to read that to you now. This is a loss of another boat while winter fishing, and sadly, a survivor cannot tell the tale. Here it is. Brothers Magnus and Birger Martinsen immigrated from Norway to Duluth in 1909, with Birger later choosing to live in Knife River. Magnus took the last name Martin, and Birger kept Martinsen to avoid confusion between the two. Together, they commercially fished Lake Superior. Birger would marry Raghild Johnson, also a Norwegian immigrant, in May of 1916, and they would have a son, Raymond, born on February 28th of 1917. On January 14th, Birger and Gustin Open Skits were caught in a violent snowstorm with sub-zero temperatures near Hollow Rock, close to Hovland. Now, they were fishing up the shore there, probably because the water was open. Again, winter fishing, you have to have open water. There's a newspaper clipping, which I was able to get from Randy Ellisted, that offered this little glimmer of hope. Quote, "The only hope of their possibly escape from certain death by freezing lies in the thought that they have made their way to shore and are camped in some shelter inlet. Well, neither the men nor their boat were ever found." Well, tragedy would strike Raghild again when on Christmas Day 1944, her son Raymond would die when his boat hit a mine in the process of resupplying Allied forces following the D-Day Normandy invasion. Raghild would later give a stained glass window to Knife River Lutheran Church in memory of her son. A sad story, again, pointing out the dangers of commercial fishing during the winter months. Just a little note here of my own. Raghild would, after the death of her husband, would marry Ole Roski of Knife River, and together and with Raymond until 1932. Ironically, it lived on property where Mary and I now live. And the net house that Ole built still remains on our property. I always valued that. I kept it as it is for quite a while. It looked like Ole had just walked out the door. All his nets and tools were there, commercial fishing tools, floats, and so forth. And I gave that all to the Lake County Historical Society because I figured I should make some use out of it, and which I did. Made a sauna out of it initially. And then later, through some health issues, I was no longer able to take sauna. So I cleaned it out and I used it for a playhouse for our grandchildren. Lastly, the last couple minutes that I have here, I want to wish Audrey Carlson a happy birthday. She's our young Knife River's youngest non-agenarian, which is somebody in their ninth decade of life. So I had to look that up. 97 years old on February 18th. Happy birthday to Audrey. She's one of Knife River's most loved elders and has lived all 97 of her years in Knife River and within a few hundred yards of where she was born. Her father, John Sandvik, came to America from Sweden by way of Finland in 1892 when he was four, and Audrey's mother, Gertie, was from Wisconsin Rapids, and she was Swedish. Well, her father took up commercial fishing and, like somebody, lived by the lake just a bit west of where the Canadian National Railroad Bridge crosses over Scenic 61. He would later work at the water plant in Two Harbors and the DM&I Water Tower. But just running out of time here, she attended school in Knife River. She became a Rosie the Riveter during the war down in Illinois. She worked on aircraft engine parts, making that. She married Bert Carlson in 1943 when Bert was home on leave. And the couple has four children, several of whom live in Duluth. Many of you may know their children are Cookie Heil, Steve Carlson, Gary Carlson, and Julie Stewart. She's a homemaker and later worked at Sears and Duluth, and also very active in Knife River and active in our church. So that is the news from Knife River. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll be back here I'm going to be back here again the second Tuesday in April. You'll have to figure out what that one, second Friday in April at 9 o'clock, and then also the following Sunday at 1 p.m. That's the news from Knife River, and I'm hoping you'll have a very nice day today.